All right, so we're going to start at the bottom of Pezainim. So we had yesterday the suggestion twice by Rami Bar Chama that the Shavuos in the Mishnah were Shavuos D'Oraisa. And both times, Rava said that that's not possible, that we're talking about Shavuos D'Rabbanan for two reasons. Both times the reasons are the same. One is that a Shavuos D'Oraisa is Nishba V'lo Mishalim, and these are Nishba V'Notel. And the second one is that you're not Nishba Minatorah, Shavuos Minatorah, you're not Nishba Al Har Karkos, right? So here, and both of these are on Shibud Karkos, which is the equivalent. So Amar Papa. If he's a smart guy, he'll force a shvua de oraisa. How is he going to force a shvua de oraisa? Ksuba yoyvlok tubota ba'apichat sado. So that he gave her ksuba the first time, he gave it to her in front of 1 8. V'samech sadakama asada batra. So what is he going to do? He's going to say he has a single aid that he gave her a ksuba once. Then he's going to give this ksuba again he'll pay her again with a single aid. And then what he'll do, you take the first sadakama, sadabaja, umukulum naharach kamai bimilvin. So what's he going to do? He's going to say, basically, I paid the ksuba twice, so I have an aid, but that I paid the ksuba the second time. If I bring the two aidim together, then I paid the ksuba twice. They both agree I paid the ksuba. But what I'll do is I'll say that I met the first payment was for a loan, and the second payment was the repayment of her ksuba. What does that help him for? Because then when he's making a claim against her, he's saying, I repaid your ksuba and I lent you money. So now what's he make her take a shavua on? The lending of the money in the first instance. When she's taking a shavua when it was lent money, what does that mean? What's the napkamino? Is what type of shavua she's taking? If she's taking a shavua that she didn't get paid by her ksuba, she's taking a shavua of nishba of a notel. But if she's taking a shavua that I didn't borrow the money, right? Loliviti, or right, or karati. Either way, she's taking a nishba v'lo nishbat v'lo mishalemet. She's turning into a shvua deoraisa, shvua v'erechad by milvin. So where it says maskin kolav rav shisha brei davidi heich samech sad dekama sad jebatro. They never saw. How could you? But mashrazeh lo razeh. I mean, you're taking two adim, right, that have nothing to do with each other. One saw one payment, one saw another payment, and you have these two adim that don't know about the other payment. So why does that help you to say, now you just have two adechads that are saying what? That
different
transactions. I do different transactions.
So she
got a ksuba.
So as I understand it, if this guy follows, if he's a pikeach, he can actually create a situation where he'll have to pay the ksuba three times.
Right. That's what he's up to now, right? Because then he's not going to help her. She takes a shvua now. He's going to end up paying a third time. So he learns exactly. He's going to lose out. So Ella Amar Rav Shisha Brei the Rabbi Idi Ha'iv Lak Ksuba Sabat Beisadu Kamo Visadu Batro. No. So he'll take the. He has to get the original aid echad, and an additional aid, and then give the ksuba the second time. Then we have one aid that clearly saw what? That she got the ksuba twice. Now you have not much razel or razel, because at least one aid saw both transactions. So he can testify that he gave twice, and then you have two aid in for the second giving, which is the payment of the ksuba. And the aid echad will say that the first one was a loan. The problem with that is, what do you mean? I got two ksubas. I had a special marriage, I had two ksubas, and he paid me back two ksubas. Now one of the issues here is that the aid actually support her position. Right? Normally we wouldn't say that a woman has, if she comes with a claim, I had two ksubos. That's a davar shelo shechicha. We wouldn't let you make that such a claim. But in this instance, the edim support that position. How do the edim support that position? Because she has two edim. And one aid saw him pay for ksuba twice. And when he paid the first time, he didn't say this was alva. He said what? That this is for ksuba. Then he came again and paid again. He said this is for ksuba. And she comes, you're right, I have two ksubos. So now, what? The aid comes along and says, you're right. You know, he paid you twice. He paid for ksuba once and he paid for ksuba twice. Sounds like exactly what she's saying. So the aid is actually supporting her position. No. he has to say, when he brings these second edim again, the first aid, he saw the first payment of the Ksuba, plus the second aid that he's at, he has to let them know, the reason I'm paying back the Ksuba now is so that the first one will be alone. So then, now he weakens her position. Now the edim don't support her position, because now he's making it clear that when he's coming to pay the second time the Ksuba, that's not that she has two Ksubos, but what? In order to have two edim for this payment, and then make the first one into a milva. If he makes that known to the edim, now the edim no longer support her position that what? That there's two ksubos here. And if we don't have support for that, we're not going to make that type of claim or accept that type of claim, because that's a very unusual claim. So therefore, now he has the edim, and they push him towards a shvua de'oraisa, push him towards a shvua de'oraisa, which he's going to have to deny the halva, the first payment. And that'll make it into shvua de'oraisa. Why? Number one, it's halva, not a ksuba, so it's not on shibud karkos. Number two is she's nishbat v'lo mishalemet, right, versus nishba v'nota. I'm turning it into a shvua de'oraisa. What's the difference? What does it matter if it's a shvua de'oraisa? So there's a Rashi here, the top Rashi on the Amud, which is a... it's an amazing Rashi, but it's also a controversial Rashi. There's not a single Rishon that agrees with him, I don't think. But Rashi says, "Lidei shvua d'oraisa." What's shvua d'oraisa? She b'shem o b'kinui. What's a shvua d'oraisa? He used the shem Hashem or one of the kinuim of Hashem. But okay, sefer taru b'yado, and he holds the sefer tover. That's Gemara in Shavuos. It says you need the kita chafetz. You have to hold some sort of davar shem kedusha, right? And then you take a neder b'shem o b'kinui. Right? That's it. The kita chafetz is one controversy. Here, because is Nikita Chafetz, right, after you have a object like a Sefer Torah in your hand, do you still take a Shavua with the Shem Hashem or the Kinoi, or does Nikita Chafetz replace the Shem? And here Rashi says, what, Nikita Chafetz, like the Rishon, like the Rambam, that what it seems to be, the Nikita Chafetz is to strengthen the Shavua de Oraiso. That's one issue, though there are Rishonim that hold up that part of Rashi. The second part of Rashi is, what, this is the more controversial part, but Chomor Hima Od is very Chomor, Aval Shavua de Rabbonon, Klobu Bi'alma. And in Shavua de Rabbonon, you don't have, from Rashi, you don't have Nikita Chafetz, you're not holding an object, and number two is, what? There's no shvua. It's a klolo. Right? They make a klolo. If you are lying here, da da da, these bad things will happen to you, da 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 da, and you don't take a shvua. Now that is true later on in time. We switched. In the time of the Gaonim, they switched to going to everything in a klolo. They didn't want to have a shvua b'shem Hashem. They switched all to a klolo. But here Rashi says that there was such a idea or tekis, even in the time of the Moroim, that the Rabbonon, when you had a shvua the Rabbonon, it's a klolo. Now almost every Rishon here argues on it. You can see Tosfos here does it also. That what? That a Shavua Derabonan is also B'nikitas Chavetz, V'Shavuas Hesed. There's only other, then they have to differentiate other ways. What's the difference between Doraisa and Derabonan? So one of the different suggestions are, one is Chinan, whether you can flip the Shavua, right, by Doraisa or Derabonan, the question of whether you're allowed to flip the Shavua on the other party. And if you fail, if the person fails to take the Shavua as the other party, who's at risk here? That's one of the issues. And the other possible explanation is by who is responsible if they don't take the shvua? Meaning that who does that burden lie on? The burden of the Raisa will depend. Who are they really mechayev? And therefore, if the refusal to the shvua, which will it impact on? I'm giving you a suggestion. Everybody argues on Rashi has different suggestions, but just pointing it out to you because it's an important Rashi. All right.
Probably
right
an obvious answer to this, but why is only the first payment the one that he try to structure it so that when he calls along,
because he has two, he wants this, the second payment is where he has the stronger edus now, because he has he's getting the second payment.
He
can't make the second
payment. He planned this from the beginning.
Yeah, but he can't make the second payment as alva, because he can't have an edim that he gave it as alva. She's not going to take it as alva. She's only going to take it as a ksuba. Right, so he has to pay it as a ksuba. That's the only way he can get her to money. But once he gets her to have that as a ksuba, then he can say that the first payment was a loan. If he comes and says the second payment was a loan, he can't do that because she won't accept the second payment as a loan. She'll accept it as a
ksuba. He claimed that the first payment was a loan if it wasn't.
Oh, because he's now saying, I paid you twice. So you have to now give back the money for one of these. So the first payment was obviously a loan. If I'm going to say that this is a second payment for ksuba.
It wasn't at the time that he gave it.
Right, that's true. That is true. But it does, by now, him paying it a second time, it becomes the equivalent of a loan. All right, and the cost of Mishubadim. It's not awesome. V'chein yisomim lo yifru elo b'shvua. We have a Mishnah, right, that yisomim, but cannot take a money or for anything without a shvuah. So this is what this means. Even yisomim from other yisomim can't take without a shvuah. Sika miman. So who are they taking? Ilivim malve. Who are they taking a shvuah to take their money from? So if it's a malve hashavim shakel below shvuah v'inhu b'shvuah, over there their father could take payment without a shvuah, and they have to make a shvuah. Doesn't make any sense, right? Meaning that if they want to get, they're going to the debtor to collect money, right? Then what does it make sense? If their father could have taken the money without a shvuah, why should they have to take a shvuah over here? The first case is where they're going back to the original debtor, and their father, if he wanted to claim from the original debtor, he could take without a shvuah, except if the Lova demanded the shvuah, but otherwise he could take it. So over here, why should we automatically obligate the Yisomim to take a shvuah where their father wouldn't have had to take a shvuah? Now, if he insists on it, then that's a different story, but without that. But so now, we can't say it's that. They want to claim from the Yisomim. So yeah, the debtor has passed away also, and now they want to take from his children. They want to get their father's loan repaid. The only way that they can force a shvuah on these other yisomim, the creditors' children, is what if the debtors' children say that our father told us, "Liviti uparati," I borrowed and I paid it back. But if their father says what? If they say our father told us that he has no outstanding debts when he died, the debtor's father says that, right? Right? Then they can't. So what? Even with the shvuah, they can't take it. So Mar says, "What does that mean?" Ask the Rava. Ad Rabba. We have a general principle. Kol Amar Lo Liviti, Kol Amar Lo Parati Dami. Right? When a person says, "I did not borrow the money," right? Then if we can prove that he did borrow the money, which right, implicitly he didn't repay the loan. If he denies the loan exists, then he could never have repaid the loan. The point is here. Why are you saying that when he says, "I never borrowed it," that they can't take a shvuah and take it? Why? They have evidence. They have a star that he did borrow the money. And when they say he never borrowed it, it's the equivalent of saying he never repaid it either. So what? They should not even need a shvuah. They get paid without a shvuah then. So that's the Gemara's conclusion, right? Meaning that if the creditor's children come to the debtor's children, if the debtor's children say, "Our father said, I borrowed but I paid it back," then they have to take a shvuah to get it. If they said, "Our father said never borrowed any money," then what? When they pull out the shtar, right, then they have, it's as if they said he never repaid it either, and therefore they can take it without a shvuah. There's no reason for it to take a shvuah in this case. Right? A woman who takes money not in front of her husband, right, has to take without a shvuah. So that we discussed yesterday, what is this talking about? So Amar Rav Acha Sar Biro Masiv Balifnei Rabbi Yitzchak Bantokhiah. That's only by the ksuba. If she wants to collect the ksuba, not in front of her father, her husband, then we say yes, mishum chinah. That's why, because of the chain. We don't want a woman to be stuck, or women to think they will be stuck, and therefore not get married, or, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, shum chinah is for the husbands to be, from the chain of the husbands, of al-bakhov lo. But by al-bakhov, there is no, right, there's no such institution by al-bakhov, because in general, we don't worry about the guy taking off for the season. For Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Afilu Balchov. So Rav Nachman says, even by a Balchov, we have such an institution that if you take a shvuah, this guy owes money, then you can get it repaid. Right, the classic case. Somebody is in debt, right? He owes a lot of money. What's he going to do? He's going to take off. Right, he's out of here. So if he takes off, then what are you going to do? Then the creditors are all out, right? Right, so this is it. We don't want to shed, again, this is a general concept of Chama. We don't want to shut down the credit markets, right? If people feel that if I lend money to this person and they could take off and basically I have no way to get my money back, then what? Then nobody's going to want to lend anymore. Right? What? Right, so if I take a shvuah, no, but that's at least a helpful solution to it, that the markets aren't shut down. I mean, that if I can't take it, of course. Right. The other option is that he won't get paid at all.
That would happen about being there. Right. You're not allowed to collect.
Right, you won't be able to collect. When he's not in front of us, maybe he has a good claim. Maybe he said, "I repaid it." So then, well, we're not going to let you take the money. This does is opens it up that if he takes a shvuah, because we can't just trust him to come in and say it. Otherwise, everybody will come and say he owes me money. So we take a shvuah, then at least he's mamit devarav by a shvuah, and then what? And therefore then he's able to take the money, and therefore it'll keep the people willing to lend because they have recourse if the guy takes off. He couldn't take it all. Right, exactly. So this is a question you guess in the mission. I said, wait here, here's the Gemara. But Rabbi Shimon said, what does Rabbi Shimon say that the Tanakhama is not saying, and what is Rabbi Shimon going on? Right, Rabbi Shimon said that whenever she's asking for a ksuba, then we're mashbiyin oto. If she doesn't ask for a ksuba, we're not mashbiyin oto. What's that referring to? So Rabbi Shimon, hi, what's he going on? Right, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, aha, on this, v'nifreid shelo b'fanav, lo tifreid l'bishvua. Explain this, if she wants to collect without, when her husband's not there, she has to take a shvua. Lo shana l'mizone, lo shana l'ksuba. It doesn't matter what, if she wants to collect mizonos, it doesn't matter if she wants to get her ksuba. So it doesn't matter if she's divorced or, you know, she thinks he's dead and she wants to get her ksuba. It doesn't matter if she's still married to him and she needs money to pay for her food. Either way, she's going to have to take a shvua to get the money out. No, if she wants to claim her ksuba, then what? Then she has to take a shvua. Right? It's about ksuba, but she's living off the estate, right? It's not claiming. Then in your shemesh binota, but kamif gave a book to the tana of the Chanan ubnei kwanim. This is same machlokas tanoim as Chanan and the bnei kwanim gedolim. The tana, we have a mishnah. Misha alach l'medina seyam. Misha tovat mizonos. His wife went out. He went out, you know, traveling. And his wife needs wants mizonos here. Chanan omer tishaba b'sof. Lo tishaba bat chila. That she only has to take a shvua at the end, right? But not what's in the beginning. So what does it mean? Right, what does soap mean? What does soap mean? What does tequila mean? Soap means when she's going to collect her ksuba, when she becomes an almana or a grusha, and she wants to get her ksuba, then she takes a shvu on the ksuba, but then they can make bashbiya her that she didn't keep anything from before, that she did everything all right. All right, whereas what the chachamim say, what? The tequila, she's got to take a shvu immediately. Right, even for the mizonos, right up front. She's got to take a shvu to take her mizonos or to say that she didn't take inappropriately from those mizonos. So that would be the same machlokas here. Right? The time Misha Lakum Gizayam Misha Tovat Mizonos Tanano Mer Tishavah B'Sof. Only when she goes to collect her ksuba does she have to take a shvua on everything. Lo Tishavah B'Tchilat, but not in the beginning. Nechruku Allah B'nei Kwanim G'dolim B'Ramu Tishavah B'Tchilat U'B'Sof. They can be mashbir on the mizonos and they can be mashbir her on her ksuba. That sounds what? Rabbi Shimon Kechanan. Right? Rabbi Shimon's like Hanan that what? Only when she goes to make the claim for the ksuba do we make her take a shvua. Rabbanan Kibnei Kwanim G'dolim. But the Rabbanan are like the Kohanim Gadolim say what? That he can make her take a shvua either way. Whenever there's a access to the estate, or she's going to try to get money for the estate, got to take a shvua. It's masculine or sages, hayorshi moshbinota, based in moshbinota, yibayalei. Meaning that if you're right over here, what does it mean that the yorshi moshbinota? The yorshi have nothing to do with this. This is a based in issue, right? She wants to go down to her absentee husband's property. It's not that the yorshi make a demand. And Basin makes a demand before they let her sell property or before they let her go and raise money, they say take a shavua. So this is not relevant, Yorshim, not Yorshim. This is relevant, this is a Basin issue. So why does it say Yorshim must be on Ota? Rabbi Shimon, in the Mishnah, he says what? A Yorshim must be on Ota. Why are the Yorshim relevant here? It should say the Basin is on Ota, right? Basin must be on Ota, Miboyle. Ela Amar Rav Sheshes, aha. No, it's going on the other part of our Mishnah. What's the other part of Mishnah? Hokam, Mikir, and Balbo, the Beit Aviyah, if she leaves the funeral and goes back home, or means her father's house, oh, she calls to the base of Kamiya, or she goes back to her father-in-law's house, meaning to her house. And she does not become a executor to the estate. Then the Yorshim did not make her take a issue. But then if she becomes an executor to the estate, then the Yorshim can be Meshbinota on the future, meaning that anything she dealt with their property or their possessions, but not on what she had done for her husband, because he already released her from such a shvua. Now he says, now where does Rabbi Shimon come to say? Rabbi Shimon the Meimar calls Vancho Tavat Kedubato Yoshimash Binota. Eno Tavat Kedubato Eno Yoshimash Binota. And when you point her as a apitropia, that's not the defining factor about whether they can be Mashbiota. It's whether she takes a ksuba or not. If she takes a ksuba out, then they can Mashbiota her as the executor. But if she doesn't take a ksuba out, then she's working. She's doing it gratis. She's being the apitropia gratis. And therefore what? Therefore they're not going to make her take a shuva. But Kamiflige, this is it. We'll explain the machlokas. Now, come here, we plugged up. The Abba Shover Abonon. It's not apitropos. You know, be so many mishava. So, according to the Tanakam, right? According to the Rabbonon, if the apitropos was appointed by the father, then he must take a shvua. You know, Beis Din lo yishava. But if Beis Din appointed him, what? Then he does not have to take a shvua. Why is that? When the father appoints him as an executor to the estate, it must be that the father had done something good for him in his lifetime, and he wants to repay him. So he's doing, this is a repayment of that tova that his father did to him. Therefore, what? We make him take a shvua that he did it right. But when it comes to Beis Din, when Beis Din appoints an executor of the estate, he's doing that, what? Out of the goodness of his heart. I mean, that he's just looking for volunteers to do this and to be executors to his estate. If they're going to make a guy take a shvua every time they appoint him as an executor of the estate, nobody's going to want to do this. Why would anybody volunteer for such a position where you're going to have to take a shvua? So Abba Shalom, Erchilus Tavarim, no, it's just the opposite. We know Beis Din Yishova. If Beis Din appoints him, he'll take a shvua. Why? When Beis Din appoints somebody, that's an honor. That's a kavod. It's like being honored at the dinner. I mean, Beis Din's willing to trust this guy, right? That they feel like
that. So good.
It also gives him access to the state. Sure, have no reason to have access to
it. Right, but it's not for personal value. Yeah. This is only for the
kavod.
Exactly. He's not getting anything out of this. It's not his money. It's not his.
Take a shvua to prove that he doesn't get anything.
Okay, right. We're assuming that he's not a liar.
Reputation was good. The best in the state. He's so reliable.
Right. Exactly. You know, Beis Din Lo Yishava, he has to make a shvua. Why? Because that's a kavod. He's getting a benefit out of this. So his benefit is now he gets a status where he's a trustworthy person. So take a shvua, right, to make sure he is trustworthy. Right. You know, Avi Yisomim, but if the Avi Yisomim are doing it, that's really stuck up. Why? The father's gone. This guy doesn't have to do this with somebody. He's doing it out of the goodness of his heart. You think he's going to carry out his father's instructions if he has to take a shvua on it? He's going to say, no way, this isn't worth the trouble for me. Right? He'll do it if he can do it without any, you know, strings attached. But if he has to take a shvua afterwards, he's going to say, no way, I'm going to take this on. So this will be the same thing over here. Rav Shimon Kabasho, Rav Shimon's like Kabasho, what? That when it's based on appointing him, Yishava. When Avi Yisomim appoint him, Lo Yishava. That's our case in our Mishnah. That's what he just explained. That if she becomes an apitropia to the estate, and the father appointed her, told her, take care of the stuff, that she doesn't have to take a shvua. She wants a ksuba, that's a different story. Then she's got to take a shvua. But until then, she doesn't have to take a shvua. Rabbanon, ki Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon, the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, who says what? She takes a shvua when she's in an apitropia. It's like the Rabbanon over here. That if it's the father's appointee, you take a shvua, because he only would have done it if she was doing it with Tovas Hanah.
This is for you. Make on the same shvua, give me at the end.
Yeah.
We have an Indian artist that boom when she was Mimavsha, if it's a shaker. You know, why not have one shua in the beginning? Because the husband's dead. Eventually she's going to get sober. Make a shua now that when I came, you know, he never paid me anything. Now he's done with my sober. And then when the day comes, when the ksuba was set, why have to make the swear again?
Because she doesn't have to take her ksuba, right? That's the biggest problem. She could hold that.
But when you're making a shua, you could say to make a swear now that you never.
And we don't make the shua, we don't do latid level. The shua here is always on the past.
No, you're doing the past. The husband's gone.
No, she's doing whatever I do.
The husband died, so she's taking the zonos, and eventually she might take
her ksuba. But we can't make her take a shua up front on the ksuba. Why that's not? Down the road. That's not something we take a shvua for. You can't take a shvua. That's the whole point of a shvua.
I'm
in Zonas. What about Ksuba?
So what about the whole time afterwards? She finishes her shvua. She's
done. Husband's gone. What is she swearing? She's swearing that the husband didn't give her money.
And then?
When the husband's alive, when she didn't give her money. After the husband's dead, she took a shvua for the Zonas also, possibly that she's taking the Zonas and she hasn't taken extra for herself.
She didn't take extra for herself?
Right.
So shvua is not that the husband who's alive didn't even
say. It's possible. Either one. She can be taking the Zonas in two different situations. She could be taking mizonos when her husband's alive. When he's dead, she could be taking mizonos at the estate. And the if she doesn't take her ksuba, she's entitled to take mizonos at the estate.
And then when she takes it ksuba, what is she swearing? That the husband didn't cover anything?
Right, her ksuba wasn't paid, and that she didn't withhold anything from the estate when she took mizonos. She could take them both. That's Kanan's suggestion.
That the husband did not pay her ready. It's also that she didn't take
it. From Kanan, there's no indication that he goes, don't make it a tchila. Basof, but it doesn't mean that Basof they can't force her to take on the tequila also. Yeah. Not that saying what you are saying, which is just do one shua at the end and to cover everything.
Okay.
The problem with Chachamim say is what she can hold out on a ksuba. She doesn't have to take her ksuba out of the estate, right, until much later. She could die before she takes it out.
In the beginning,
in the beginning you can't do the shua because I did that vote. The whole idea of a shua is to say what I did was true and honest. honest. You can't say, I will be true and honest to the Shavua, because then you've lost the token for the Shavua, because by the time she comes to take that action, she forgot the Shavua already.
I mean, no, but at the beginning, she could get the Shavua that she didn't receive the Tzuba. And she's saying, I want to take the Zohar. Right. If she already received the Tzuba, then she wouldn't be invited to.
Right, but she could take the Shavua. I didn't receive it yet, but then she could have taken it later on, and then she comes to collect the Tzuba, and she would take it again.
So you see, there is a
pertinent Shavua that she could have to take.
Right, that I never got my Tzuba so far. What the Mishnah reads in Rabbi Shimon's words, whenever she does the, whenever she takes her ksuba, it's not whether, you know, kolzman, it's not im. If she's tovat ksuba, that's what triggers the shvua. The shvua is im tovat ksuba, so not kolzman shetovat ksuba, so mi bailei. Elam arbayi, aha, it's going on this part of the Mishnah. Kasav la neder shvua. In the Alayach, this is the, I mean, it's one Mishnah, but the previous Mishnah before this, what? That if he writes there, Nedu Shvayin Li Alayach, in a Yechol Yeshbiya. Nedu Shvayin Li Lo Yorish, Lo Bayim Bishuti Alayach, Bial Yorshech, Lo Bayim Bishuteich, and Yechol Yeshbiya Lo Hu, Lo Yorshav, Lo Bayim Bishuta, Lo Hiv, Lo Yorshav, Lo Bayim Bishuta. Right, so that was the last iteration in that Mishnah. The Mishnah was going through different releases, right? The best release was when he released her both that, what? He wouldn't take, make her take a Shua. None of his descendants or people stood in his place, would not be much via her, her descendants, and anybody who stands in her place. No, the exception to that rule is what? That what? If she wants to be Tovei Ksubasa. As long as she's not Tovei Ksubasa, she's held by that release. As soon as she wants to be Tovei Ksubasa, that release is no longer valid. Why is that? This is exactly what we had yesterday. Abishol, what? The name of Miriam Barabonin. Rabbi Shimon, Kabishol, Barabonin, Kirabonin. What did Abishol been Imam Miriam say yesterday, but even though there's poter, even though there's a release, nevertheless, mani aseh, right? Shari amru chumim, habali from nixay yisam, loy frel b'shvua, right? So he goes, even though she has these releases, there's still an obligation to take a shvua when she comes to collect out of the yisomim. What's to collect out of the yisomim? That's her ksuba. So that's exactly what Rabbi Shimon says. The release works only up to the point she wants to be tovat ksubasa. If she wants to be tovat ksubasa, the release is no longer valid, and she will have to he'll have to take a Shavua to get his Ksuba because of Abishol's statement. What? That whenever you take from Yisomim, you got to take with a Shavua.
So that's why Mizonos also.
Well, Mizonos may not, right. That might be a question about Mizonos. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Abishol's statement was whatever you want to take from Yisomim.
Yeah, but that's correct. That may not be taken from Yisomim. That might be here in entitlement. Meaning that may not be there at that point. She's not getting paid out. When she's eating from the estate, right, it may not be from the Yisomim. That's an entitlement within the estate. Once she takes her Ksuba, she's taking full payment out. That's when she's actually taking payment out of the
estate. You mean the estate belongs to the Yisomim, to the Yorshim?
Yes. Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I think that from Mizonos, you might have to do it also, but I don't know. I'm not positive on that. Tarjo ben Emirim, Verabonon, Kerabonon. The Rabbanon will argue on Abishol and say, even if she wants to take Ksuba out, that release is binding, and the release is binding to the point that she doesn't have to take any Shavua whatsoever.
You know what, the Rabbanon instituted it as long as he didn't specifically absolve it from
that. Right, but that was the Yefshi. Right, the Tachas, the Chachamim is a general principle that we have by Yefshi, which is what, whenever the Chachamim were attacking something, that was to the benefit an individual. If that individual says EF, she was a kind of chachamim, we allow him to say that. So same thing here.
The difference between them is who was the benefit of the shua. If the benefit was the yisomim, and the father could never wait.
That's a good thought. Yeah, possibly right. If the kind of chachamim is all for the benefit of the yisomim, then the father can't release that from the yisomim from that benefit.
Which makes sense. That's really what the shua was.
Right. Versus if the shua is just because the husband wants to be secure, that even when he has the property down, that it's straight.
We said that the father can obligate the Yisomim in terms of what occurred during his lifetime.
Right. Yeah, but that makes sense because that's about his stuff. It's not the Yisomim right there. It's about his own property. That makes sense.
Yes, that's
the kind of thing
for them.
Right. So that's why. Maski Subasa in a Tovas Ksuba Ma'ikula Meimar. So the problem is what? You have a problem with the statement of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon made a two-sided statement. Says Kol Zman Shetovas Ksubasa Yorshim Ashbinota. That makes sense according to the way we're explaining it now. But that the release doesn't work in this instance. But Ino Tovas Ksuba Yorshim Ashbinota. But if she doesn't take her Ksuba, they don't have to make it. Well, of course. They don't buy. Rabbi Shimon's rep referencing the previous mission that says that there's a release and they don't have to take a shvua. Then he comes to argue on them. But he's only arguing on one side. He's arguing on the side that if she wants a ksuba, she's got to take a shvua. He doesn't have to say if she doesn't take a shvua, she has to take a shvua. That's exactly what the Tanakhama said. The Tanakhama said if there's a release, it's a release for everything. You don't have to take a shvua. So what is the second side of Rabbi Shimon coming to explain? That doesn't make any sense. So then, Elamra Papa, Lafuke, made Rabbi Lozer, Umachlukuto. Right? What is the point of Rabbi Shimon? Right, that to get or to argue on Rabbi Lezer and his makluto. What is that? So that's the case where they were monel, but the shvus, which they're monel as a apitropia, but she becomes a executor to the estate. We had a makluto between the chachamim and Rabbi Lezer. Right, the chachamim say what? That you can only be when she's an apitropia, then they can be mashbiota. Right, but Rabbi Lezer say what? They can be mashbiota, pilcha, kisasa, anything. They can be mashbiota anytime. So now Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, no, I disagree with both of your positions. So what is that? Right? That if you want to, alright, you know what, let's just read Rashi, it makes it easier. Rabbi Shimon, he's not arguing about that. He's arguing on the whole principle. That you can take a force a shvua of apitropia anytime you want, right? Right? Hey, let the low punch him in a nether min a shvua, as long as they don't have a release, right? That was the whole point of the release. The release was he was possibly releasing her from this shvua of apitropia. But if you lose shlov shast bias ksuba, so it doesn't matter what she's, whether she's going to claim her ksuba, not going to claim her ksuba, that's the general principle of apitropia, of partners, that they can force a shvua, right? Being punch him in a shvua, if you lose him in a shvinota, you should afraid may have. But if he pulls her, he gives a release, that's a full release, that what, even for apitropia, you can't force her to take a shvua. Because then he did randomly, I love you, or she. But every shvua, let me mark close the mind, she'll talk about the shvua, so you're shvina, my shvinota. But tilu kadala, nether shvua, ain't your shvua, life, kabashol. Right, that, what, I can force a shvua, if she comes to claim her ksuba, what, then we can force a shvua. Ain't a tovat, subasa, ain't a yorshi, my shvina, la tropia, but shvachai le bala. The apitropia, the isomim cannot, what? Cannot make a claim against her to make a shvua about apotropia during the lifetime of the father. Even if he didn't release her from the shvua. So this is an amazing statement. The he does not have this whole principle that you can take force a shvua anytime you want by an apotropia. Therefore what? So there are two different cases. One is where the husband provided a release. If the husband provides a release, then not only can what they not make a force take a shvua about what happened during the husband's lifetime, they cannot force her to take a shvua about what happens during their lifetime. When she's the executor of their estate, she can't force her to shvua, except if she wants her ksuba, then they can roll it up and say take a shvua and everything. That's what Rabbi Shimon learns. Also, the way Rashi learns is what? Not only, but the release is not only valid, what? For, in the instance, right? In the instance where he gives a release to her that they can't force a shvua during his lifetime or after his lifetime, meaning that during the time of the son, but even if he doesn't, gives no release. What happens if there's no release, then he passes away? Rabbi Shimon says, right, then what? Then the Yorshin could be mashbiah her, it cannot be mashbiah her. What does it mean it cannot be mashbiah her? They cannot be mashbiah her on what happened with Chayibala, what happened during his lifetime at all. What? On their stuff they can do it, because why? Because there's no release there. If there's no release, then they can force her as an executor of their state to take the shvua. But even without the release, they can't go back and ask to make the shvua on their husband's lifetime. That's the way Rashi learns. If you look, just Tosfos. By Tosfos, interesting case here. I just read Hashdis on the Meimar. Hi, the Delkot. In a Yerushim Meshubino, it's a Lavdapka. That's Lavdapka. Who is in Lachlan? Not only can the Yerushim not make her take a shvua, he can't make her take a shvua. There's a release here, right? There's a release in effect. If you skip down 2, 4, 5, 6 lines, it says Meisav Balik Nei Rabbi Beinu Tam. So Meisav, these are always interesting, right? Rabbi Beinu Tam had a base then. So yeah, Meisav Balik Nei Rabbi Beinu Tam. The Isha Shoshiva Balik Kanvanit Umina Okutropia. Right? That the a case came before him where a woman was appointed by her husband during his lifetime to be the storekeeper and the executor of all his stuff. Aika no safe and no ten harbe most with value. She was a maker. She was a trading, transacting, and many money. Bomer the bala sheina shala. Right, that they would say that she would say that it's not my money, meaning that she was transacting and saying that it was other people's money that she was transacting and she was working with, and that she wasn't taking money from her husband and transacting with this additional money. Heshbiya b'chayibala. They didn't force to take a shvua while her husband was alive. They came into a community and caused Mashal to Vaska Subasa to come to Rabbi Shimon Kabashola. Then Ema Miriam, we said what? That Rabbi Shimon is like, the Gemara here tried to set up Rabbi Shimon like what? Abishal ben Miriam. And that in the conclusion of the Gemara, it's not clear that they didn't reject it. And we know, and we know the Lacha is like Abishal ben Miriam. And therefore, what? In King Hilkas and Yami, Kula Milsa, Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, also, the Lacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So the only time he can be Mashbiya her is what? In Tobayak Subasa. Right? And that's why, if Tobayak Subasa, then she is a dove. But over here, she's not being Tobayak Subasa, so what? There's no reason to.
Like we're still the Neymar.
Right, then we don't have a right over here later on to come back and say to make a take a shwa. The Kasayim, Eno Tavas Subasa, Eno Yorshim, and Binota, Abdilu, Hoshiba, and Pantim, and Yom Pachopsa, the Lace on the Neymar, Yom Pachopsa, Kase, Bakada, Ubida Glow. Right, the Halakh is like Shimon in all cases. Right, that,
Ella Echad in Flourish on
right, unless the Gemara explicitly says that Allah is not like him in that case. So you say that Allah is going to be like Rabbi Shimon, if Allah is like Rabbi Shimon, then what? There's no entitlement to make her swear about her being an executor during her husband's lifetime. As Rashi said, even after death, right, even without a release, the Yisalmim have no right to go and make her take a shvua about that which transpired during Chayla Bava, unless she's claiming her ksuba. So over here, she's not claiming her ksuba, right, then Mason doesn't have a right to make her take a shvua about all these transactions, or whatever she was transacting in during her husband's lifetime. So you see, Rabbeinu Tam, Pasuk, exactly like this, like Rabbi Shimon, Aliba, Dabashmol, and Miriam.